Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining me today. It's that time of the month again, and it's the Conversations with Carol show. So rather than a specific topic, what I'm going to be doing is devoting the entire hour to answering your questions and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. We can talk about decisions that you're looking at, decisions that you've made, health. The only thing, like I've always said, is I'm not good at is what are you going to be when you grow up? Haven't quite figured that out myself. So it's always a fun-filled show. I try to take as many calls as possible. So if you've been wanting to ask a medical intuitive questions, this is your chance. You can call me at 877-230-3062. That's in the U.S. and Canada, and then 425-644-5620. That's a number that both U.S., Canada, and international callers are able to use. So, again, a lot of fun, and I hope that you'll dial in and ask me a question. Every month I offer a free Your Health teleclass on a specific illness. The month of April is going to be on insomnia. The date for that teleclass is April 22nd. It's on a Thursday night, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I'm going to be sharing about insomnia and then also some of the sleep disorders that are associated with it. In the teleclass, I not only talk about the illness itself in great length from an allopathic and just a general description of what it is, but I also share the hidden meanings behind it, meaning the hidden psychological meanings behind what creates patterns of thoughts and emotions that are associated with insomnia. I also share how it looks energetically, how it maps in the chakra system, and then the role our personality plays in increasing the susceptibility to having insomnia issues. The teleclass is actually 60 minutes in length, and then following the teleclass, I do exactly what I'm doing right now on my radio show. I always add another 20 or 30 minutes answering questions about the topic or about health issues. So if you'd like to join me on the April teleclass, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And again, it's free, so I hope that you'll tell a friend. Just go there. You can register and then join me. And they're very, very informative. I enjoy so much the research that goes into putting these together and then also sharing how as a medical intuitive I see illnesses. If you have a suggestion for an illness that you would like me to consider in the future, you can again go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Submit the suggestion to me, and then if I use the suggestion on the show, I will contact you prior to it, and I'll send you a free autograph book of my book, Healing Happens With Your Health. My last teleclass in March was on chronic pain, and one of the things that I always do is I record the teleclass itself and provide a printable PDF download. So my March teleclass was on chronic pain. And there's an audio download that's available and then also a printable PDF available. Both are available for purchase. Again, on my website, www.ritberger.com. So lots of good information. I can see that my lines are going to beginning to light up. Again, give me a call and I'll answer your questions. Let's go ahead and start with Delaine, is it, from Illinois. Hi, how are you?
Hi, it's Joellen.
Hi, can I help you?
Well, I my question's actually from my mom. And
hello.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello?
All right. We're going to see if we can get her back on air.
Hello?
Hi, hon. Can I help you?
It's Joellen.
Oh, hello, Joellen. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm calling for my mom, and it's kind of a touchy question, but she's going through a tough time right now, and I tell you what, my sisters all think that she's got a mental illness, and I'm kind of wondering if she's, well, they all think she's narcissistic, and I just think she tends to block out stuff that she doesn't want to remember.
You mean that selective memory that we all have?
Yeah, well... Go
ahead, sweetie.
No, it's just, you know, I don't know what to do.
Okay. Are you part of the caregiver to her?
Well, I have to say my third oldest sister and my second oldest sister are the ones that are the most involved.
Okay. Okay, so let me, what is your mom's name, please? I just need first name. Helen, okay. The first thing I can tell you is your mom has been suffering from depression, actual clinical depression, meaning there's a pattern in her chemistry in her body that has caused her to have this state. It almost feels like it's got a little bit of a mania to it. And what that means is that she's had the patterns of really high and low. That's an indicator, sweetie, that she's got both a serotonin and a dopamine imbalance in the brain itself. And my sense is that over the course of time that she's experienced this, and I really pick up that she's had bouts of it off and on throughout her life, but it seems like it was consistent for a couple of years, meaning it was really difficult for her to be able to function and to be able to think clearly, and even her sleep cycle. And there were some things that I can pick up that was off. The result of that is that my sense is that she's got some of the memory loss that you're picking up and your sisters are picking up. Not only the narcissism that you're talking about feels like it's a selective aspect of her memory, the episodic memory, that short-term memory that really connects us with what we're doing in this world. For example, we usually associate episodic memory with not being able to remember where our keys are and stuff, or sometimes it can go into another form of it that's a little more severe from the standpoint we can't remember how to tie our shoes. But there are things that we do usually on a daily basis. Your mom has been experiencing that for quite a while. And my sense is that most likely has to do from the selectiveness that her brain has decided to use in order to be able to help her cope.
Oh, yeah.
In the narcissism that we normally associate clinically with what you're talking about, your mother doesn't appear, as I touch her energetically, to truly have that clinical aspect of it. What I come up is I come up with the highs and lows. I come up with the chemistry imbalance, that episodic memory. I am having some dementia that I'm picking up. That has to do with also the little more of the long-term, not that I would associate with Alzheimer's, not with that. But it just seems like this is an outcome of a chemical imbalance that she's had for a long time. My sense is that the self-focus that's usually associated with narcissism is because she's had to learn over the course, especially the last 2 years, how to function in this shrinking world that she's having to deal in. Mm-hmm. And as a result, she's not as flexible or as adaptable as she used to be. She doesn't tend to engage at the level that she normally would. She doesn't feel like she's as chatty as she used to be. She feels like she's having some difficulty with some of the words and finding the words. Again, all of those things are more symptomology of an episodic memory loss than it is of a real mental illness. The only way that I could come in and even touch, barely touch that phrase, that mental illness aspect of it, is just the fact that she's been so chemically out of balance for a long time. There are some things that your sisters can do. You could go and you could work with a psychologist or a psychotherapist that would be able to help you in understanding a little bit more about what she's capable of doing and where she is. And then could do psychotherapy, really works with some behavioral modification that would be able to help. It feels to me like your mom feels like she's just being kind of pressed and compressed, like she can't. It's almost like I have a little child, and that little child part is that I keep hearing over and over again, she can't do anything right. So rather than engage and do something wrong, it's easier to not engage or to choose when to engage. But again, the selectiveness of the brain may seem like when she chooses to engage, it's almost inappropriate. And what I mean by that is it's almost overt, meaning that it's kind of a, it's a little over the top. But again, I think that that's what we're dealing with. I have to ask, has your mother had any kind of TIAs or little mini strokes in the last few years that you're aware of?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay. I can actually pick up some electrical, I'm going to call it short circuiting. That's about the best way for me to be able to stay away from all the clinical stuff. But every so often, it's like she gets a shutter in her brain. And that is, it's, think of it as a computer that's online that all of a sudden goes offline and has to reboot. Her behavior after that seems to be inconsistent. The other thing I'm picking up that is a result of all this kind of her world shrinking is I'm picking up some obsessive compulsive. And that's why I thought that what it may be is that if you talk to a psychologist or a psychotherapist, someone would be able to look at her, look at the patterns. And then my sense is, and the other reason I want to send you in that direction, sweetie, is that if you try to share things, there's a lot of dynamics between you and your sisters. You feel like, to me, that they feel like you're really kind of far out there on the things that you do, is it would be worthwhile to talk to someone who is actually trained in the different areas to have them involved. So then your sisters will accept the information that's being shared in a way that they will be comfortable with it. And that'll save you from having to always be the messenger of looking at things holistically. One of your sisters, she almost feels like an oldest just because of the way she takes control, isn't really much into this woo-woo stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And as a result, what she's going to do is she's going to just literally kind of poo-poo things. And then also in her own behavior is her behavior around anything that isn't right. And it's by personality, not, I'm not picking on your sister, but it's by personality is let's just avoid it and see if it's going to go away. It may just be a momentary thing. But in the case of all the things I'm picking up with your mom, it would be worthwhile, not only, not so much for your mom as it would for your sister, to just kind of get a professional's take on it and look at some of the things that are possible. The obsessive compulsive that I'm picking up has really been something in the last probably 6, maybe 7 months that seems to be coming more overt, meaning more expression associated with it. And I think that would help a lot.
Is there any medicine or...
Yes, there is. There are some things, especially if you work with... a psychologist, or even if you wanted to go to a psychiatrist, probably the sister I'm talking about would be very comfortable with a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And frankly, your mother's not going to understand why, because from her perception, she's dealing in her world the best she can and, surviving. And that's
you're right
really
on
where
with
it
that.
Is. Yeah. And where she's surviving. And again, that narcissism that we see that it's all about me and it's all about this obsessive compulsive is she's just trying to cope with life, hon. Mm-hmm. She's just trying to get through the day, do what she knows that she can do, not put herself into a situation that's going to create a tremendous amount of stress. Probably some of the recluse that you're beginning to see with her, that hermit that's coming out, is the fact that she's feeling pressured on the outer side, on the outside. So if you talk to a psychiatrist, they will be able to give you a clear diagnosis. They will also be able to offer some medication that will really be able to help your mother. It may take her a little while, so don't expect, you know, miracles all of a sudden, because she's been so depleted in serotonin and dopamine for quite a period of time that it may take some time for the medication to really kick in to the point where it'll be able to give her that feeling. And you'll start to see her coming out of this shell and not seeming like she's as self-serving with it.
Well, when my father passed away, she had one of her doctors prescribe Zoloft. Does that have serotonin in it?
It does. And what you might want to do is go back and revisit that. My sense is I didn't know she was on anything when I touched her energy.
Well, she kind of weaned herself off of it.
Okay.
That
okay.
Way.
Yeah. There are so many new meds for depression right now. Zoloft isn't a bad one, but it isn't a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. And with where your mother is showing in her behavior and that neurological circuiting that I'm picking up, my sense is that talk to someone, but the Zoloft probably wouldn't be the first choice, but it is something that she does need to get back on that would be able to help her with the chemistry imbalance first. And I really think you'll see a lot of behavioral changes following that.
Does she have a long life?
She does. You know, she's kind of like the Ever Ready Bunny. She's, when she gets into this, chemical imbalance, I can feel a helplessness in her. And again, I don't know, frankly, sweetie, if that's because I'm just feeling her world shrinking and she feels like she wants to live, be engaged, very dynamic. So I don't know if that's the situation I'm picking up, that her world is shrinking and she's feeling really, you know, bound by things. I get some anxiety around all of that in her. But my sense is that if we can get her on the proper medication and working with someone, again, psychotherapy is behavioral modification, someone that can help her with some of the obsessive compulsive, some of the other things I'm picking up. My sense is that she's got a few more good years in her. But I also do know that with chemistry imbalances that you can literally lose your will to live as well. So, but she really has, when I go back, she's a fighter. She's always been a fighter. Mm-hmm. And, she seems to just spring back when, if I go back in her life, my gosh, her life reads like a, front of a newspaper, a lot of trauma, a lot of things mm-hmm. in her life. And she just bounces back, sweetie. So I would encourage you to hold that. And I know that I can pick it up in your mom that she's holding that. It's just a place and time that we just need to go in and deal very straightforwardly with what's going on and take care of it now.
We weren't too hard on her with this last, well, it's about her obsessive compulsive shopping. My sisters have come down on her pretty hard.
Well, actually, it's a very good thing that you did, because the mania probably, when you go and you talk to someone, this obsessive compulsive, they're probably going to find that there's a lot of the symptomology of bipolar, and that's that fearlessness and fearless. And, but again, no, not at all, because what she'll do is she doesn't have the brain chemistry to help her moderate what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And so in that particular case, you've got to go in and step in and intervene. And, but when you do, please do know that she's going to go back like that little girl, like she's done something wrong, and she's going to pull in. And again, it isn't that she's playing games. She's not trying to manipulate. It's just that we need to go in and deal with the chemistry of the brain. And I think you'll see a tremendous difference with her. So, probably I would start, you know, psychiatrist, psychotherapist would be the two. Psychologists would do well. They can prescribe and sometimes they can't. So that would be helpful.
Well, thanks for your help, Carol. You're always the best.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Thanks for calling me, and lots of light and love, and get her wherever you need that. Their sister will be able to deal with it, sweetie. That's one of your biggest challenges right now.
Yeah, she's always a challenge. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, let's go ahead and take Joanne from Canada. Hi, Joanne. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi, Carol. It's so nice listening to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're talking always from the heart, and you know, we need so much of that in our world today.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
How can I help you?
Well, you know, I don't know if you just want to read my body or what. I've got a couple things going on, and I can't seem to get a doctor to find out. They kind of look at you how they do today and like, are you just needing attention, or... You know, they look at you like you're silly, right?
So, well, you know, you're kind of like that car that's got an intermittent bug that isn't there all the time.
Right.
And, you know, when it is there, it's hard to predict because it isn't there, and then it is there and everything. Because I have such a short period of time with you, sweetie, why don't you point me in a part of your body that you're concerned about, and then that'll help me connect the dots.
Okay, let's go with the chest area. I've been having some weird things with shortness of breath. Pulsing in my throat and tightness in my chest, in that kind of area, I guess, is the one that's concerning me right now.
Okay, there's a couple things. So I'm just going to ask the obvious. Have you talked to a cardiologist?
No, but I've gone in through emergency, and they've kind of looked at a couple different things. They thought either it's stomach or could be fluid around my heart, but they sent me home with stomach stuff to start off. And if I have another big bout to go in, so I had another bout and went and seen just a doctor, like my regular doctor, and she just said, no, I think you're just having anxiety issues. Like, I'm getting woken up in the middle of the night. There's no anxiety. I'm sleeping.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, the first thing, so let's go in. And the reason I'd ask about the cardiologist is that at some point in time, you may want to do that, not because there's an issue, but just because it'll give your mind what it needs. It'll give you that clean bill of health that you're looking for.
Okay.
So that's the only reason I had asked that. And again, the other reason I had asked that, very frankly, is the fact of the arrhythmia that you get and the palpitations and so forth. So the thing that a couple of things is that my sense is it has to do with your thyroid, and your thyroid is bouncing around. And what I'm I was kind of stalling as I was talking, frankly, about it, because I wanted to see if we truly have a thyroid issue, meaning that we have a low, or it, could I tie it to the hormones? So I'm going to go two different ways. The first thing I'm going to do is that the arrhythmia, and it is, it's a palpitation. I can get a speed, it's almost like an adrenaline hit that comes from the hormonal changes that you're having in your life right now that can affect the thyroid and the metabolism or metabolic rate, let's say, if that way of it. So what it'll do is the thyroid is part of the process that handles metabolism. And what it'll do is when the adrenals get this spike from the pituitary around hormones, it's like you stick your finger in a 220 light socket. The heart starts to race. When it starts to race, because it's adrenaline based, it's difficult to be able to really calm it as quickly as you'd like to.
Yeah,
and the other aspect of it is that when the thyroid gets this spike, what it will also do is that it will change the way the blood flows from the heart to the brain. And as a result, it can create, it feels like almost a little bit of a lightness in the head or a little bit of dizziness. And that can also be, that can also be associated with the stomach as well. So my sense is that when you go back to the doctor, what we probably need to do is we need to run a hormone check. We need to know where you are in your estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And that will give you a benchmark of how to decide what you want to do to work with it, because it isn't uncommon with this hormonal changes that women go through for us to have a lot of anxiety that just comes out of the middle of nowhere. And it isn't that we're mentally anxious. It's just a hormonal response to something that happens in the dynamics between the pituitary, the thyroid, and the adrenals. So, and then the next part of it, hun, is that when I go in to the spine itself, and I had to go there right after I had said that, because in the thoracic part of the spine, and you might want to look at acupuncturist or a non-force chiropractor, meaning someone, your spine doesn't need to be aligned the way we would think of a spinal adjustment, but thoracic vertebrae T4, T5, part of the nerve that comes out of there, actually it's cranial nerve, and then we go into T6, so 4, 5, and 6. In that area, T4 and 5, and the cranial nerve that's there also is associated with the activity of the heart. Then T5 and 6 is associated with the same cranial nerve with the stomach itself. So when you get stomach, this cranial nerve, and literally it's the vagus nerve, it's cranial nerve number 10. You can look for a cranial sacral therapist. Once they can get the spine aligned the way it needs to, my sense is it'll take the pressure off of that cranial nerve. Your head will kind of drop into the skull the way that it needs to, because your head feels like it's tilted a little bit to the right and forward. And what that will do is that'll get it back straight into kind of the alignment in the spine. That's going to take the pressure off your stomach. That'll take the pressure off the adrenals, the pituitary, the thyroid that I was talking about. So you might want to look at that. Your heart, looks good. When I go in and I literally look at the valves themselves, I don't have any kind of prolapse in the valves themselves. I don't have any consistency in the electrical activity of the heart. That means that the heart is reprogramming itself for defibrillation or for any kind of palpitations. It's just like walking up and getting shocked. And it will occur when it's in the middle of the night because we do so much of the detoxifying in the body at night. And then also, sweetie, the way that you sleep, your pillow needs to get adjusted or buy a new one. It feels old.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's giving you the rest that you need. It's getting your neck and your head positioned in a way. It's putting pressure on that part of the spine. And then when you look at the hormones as well. Dr. Christiane Northrup has a wonderful book called The Wisdom of Menopause. Oh. I would encourage you to go in and look at that. You might also want to look at Suzanne Summers' books around bioidentical hormones. And not so much from taking the bioidenticals. That's something that you will need to find out where you are. That's why I suggested a blood test. But you might be able to minimize some of the things that you're having if you understand where you are and what's available. And her books really do a lot of in-depth research and talking to doctors about how our hormones as females change activities of the body. And I think that's going to take away the fear. No angina, couldn't pick up any of that. It's just too erratic for it to be anything consistent with an angina or anything that has to do with the heart. I'm not finding the fluid in the pericardium sac around the heart itself. So, and no inflammation or infection that would cause that. So I think we've just got a hormonal issue and we need to get that spine lined up.
I think that's what I'll do. And hormonal as well, because I'm 44 and I had a hysterectomy in my 30s, so it makes sense. That's what I was thinking. It must be thyroid or some kind of imbalance in that sense. Plus, my skin's been really dull. You know, normally my skin, my complexion looks really good. I just look really tired lately. I'm like, what am I doing?
It's most likely just the change. And the fact that you've had a hysterectomy so many years ago, your body, even though we are told that we don't produce estrogen, we still produce minimal amounts.
Right.
And that's just something, but it's not what our female body needs. The fact that the skin, like you said, the fact that the sleep, all the different things we talked about, your hair, the confusion that you get into, that kind of foggy thinking. My sense is that we've got something that's going on with the hormones. And it's affecting the thyroid, and then the adrenals just decide to wake up in the middle of the night and party, and that's not the time that we want them to do that.
Or turn the day, that dizziness, the fog in the head, it's like, okay, what's happening?
And I think craniosacral will help you, especially with the dizziness, but most important, just go buy yourself a new pillow, and that will help you tremendously.
Right, and how about progesterone?
What will occur is the progesterone, so I'll give you a brief anatomy of kind of a physiology 101. Okay. Estrogen in our life is what tells the uterus to prepare and the eggs to prepare for menses. The progesterone is what tells the menses process to stop. Okay. When we've been on estrogen, or we naturally do it, when it starts to decline, the progesterone isn't sure what's happening. So it's like it increases to kick it in the bottom and say, okay, come on, woo, I'm doing my job. You need to do yours.
Right.
And, so what you may want to do, and that's why I wanted, because I've got so much of the thyroid involved in, that's why I really wanted you to have some blood work done so we could actually see where that estrogen, progesterone, testosterone level is. Use it as a benchmark and then you'll be able to know where to go. And then once the progesterone thinks, well, it's not my job to really overreact, then it becomes depleted, and that can cause a lot of the things as well that you're experiencing. I would start there. Again, ask your doctor if they're open to doing hormonal tests. If they're not, go online. There's places, Life Extensions. And anytime I want to, excuse me for saying this and interrupting your train of thought with it, for any of the listeners, anytime I talk about any product or any different place to go get blood work or anything like that, a naturopath or craniosacral, please understand there's no compensation. It's just something that I just want to point people in the right direction. So, sweetie, look for craniosacral. Find somebody that will do some either saliva testing. Usually it requires blood work for your estrogen, progesterone. That'll give you an idea where you are, honey.
That is totally awesome. Thank you so much. The cranial sacral, how do you know if they're doing the right thing? Because there's so many people out there doing this. How do you know if the person is doing
good? Well, the first thing I will say to you and to everyone is, if you don't get a warm fuzzy in your heart about someone, it doesn't mean that they're not skilled.
Right.
But when we do any kind of, and craniosacral is both a physical and a subtle energy medicine.
Yes. Yeah.
And if we don't get that warm feeling trust with someone, frankly, honey, nothing's going to work.
Okay.
It doesn't make any difference how skilled they are. If you want to, the people that have trained with John Upledger, are exquisite in the training. John is very fundamental, a great protocol. You can go to upledger.com, check out John, go in, put in where you live, and if there's any trained Upledger craniosacral therapists, they will be there. If you have a naturopath, ask them as well. But most important, if you don't trust them, it's not going to work. Like I say to the people, if you don't trust the doctor, the pill's not going to work. It's the same when you're working with the other.
Yes, very good. Thank you so much, Carolyn. I don't want to hold you back because I know there's other people sitting back there going,
Well, thank you so much. And light and love to you. You have a great rest of the week.
You too.
If you would please stay tuned, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. I'm going to be right back to take your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills. Stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Well, welcome back. Today's show is Conversations with Carol, and the entire show I'm dedicating to answering your questions. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3260. That's U.S. and Canada, or everyone can call me on 425-644-5620. If you would like to be able to help people understand themselves and really make a difference in people's lives, I'm going to offer you a wonderful opportunity. I've actually started training people to become a facilitator of the Reitberger Personality Method, and I'm going to be having a training on level one that is going to be coming up April 17th and 18th in Northern California. And as a level one facilitator, you'll be able to administer the What Colors Your Personality assessment, help people in interpret it, and then also offer What Colors Your Personality workshops. One of the things I've always had the pleasure in doing the personality work, and my other trainers that I have out there, the facilitators, everyone says the same thing. Carol, this is so rewarding to be able to help people understand why they don't march to the same drummer, and why they're the square pegs that fit in the round world. And it's just fun, enjoyable, life-changing to watch people understand who they are for the first time in many cases in their life and love who they are. So again, if you're interested in learning more about becoming a certified facilitator, you can go to my website at www.ritberger.com. Go to my homepage, click on the personality icon on the right hand side. It'll take you right into the page where it tells you all about level one training, the cost, all the information. And if it's something you would love to do, I would love to have you a part of my team. So again, that's www.ritberger.com. All right. So let's go ahead. Let me jump into Sherry from Kentucky. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi, Carol.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, I've had a lot of problems with my back, and I also have had a lot of fear, which is kind of interrupting with what I need to do to move forward in my life. So I'm trying to understand what I need to do, what the relationship is between those two things, because I do think they are related.
They are. You are absolutely, you're a great medical intuitive. They are. There's a couple of things that the fears are actually feeding on each other. And the fear that feels, that starts this whole thing is in that mid lower back and the lumbar part of the back, sweetie. It's where the spine really kind of takes that dip in the back. And you know, where it starts to just make that hump into our bottom and everything. That's the fear of unknown. And that's been something that is just a gift of your childhood. I just need to say it frankly like that. It's difficult for you. It feels like to be able to gain control over your life or your direction because it feels like so much in your life, all the way going back to your parents, that there was a lot of other people trying to run your life and telling you what you need to do. That fear of unknown is actually creating a fear of rejection. And my sense is when I touch that is that it, and again, past is that that fear of rejection is that other people are going to reject you. But the reality of it is we don't want you to reject yourself. When I say we, I mean you, your soul, all your guides and helpers and angels. You've got lots of beings around you to support you, to know that you can step forward. You can move in the direction that you need to go. Baby steps in order to do it. You're getting a lot of help. And then if you go in and you work on that self-rejection and you start working on self-acceptance, then that fear of unknown, you'll feel like you have more control. And then the fear of abandonment, meaning standing alone when you get there, isn't something that you're going to experience. So I'm going to go in and I touched mom and dad. Your father has always had a fear around survival. That doesn't have to do with he's just a male. It just has to do with the fact that that's your father's personality. It's where his fear is. Your mother has always had a fear around abandonment. And as a result, sweetie, in that life that you've had, that fear of unknown is what's fed a lot of the insecurities that you have. And not just you, I need to say, Sherry, every single one of us, we carry the fears of our parents or people that we love and so forth. So when we go in, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to go in to that lower back part that I'm talking about, and I would like you to get rid of some deep-seated resentment. And when I'm saying this, resentment towards yourself first. What is it that you're resenting about yourself? Maybe it's the fact, sweetie, that every time you want to step forward and you try, things just don't work the way they are. But I say this with great love, Sherry. It isn't that you aren't ready, sweetie. It's just other people's fears you're carrying on your back, darling. Then go up to your shoulders. Don't be disappointed in yourself. You've done a great job. You've contributed. It feels like you've raised some wonderful, wonderful children that you would like to go in that are really good citizens and have done a lot of good things. You've made a difference in people's lives. Don't be disappointed in yourself. Most important, with disappointment, we have regrets. Voila, we all do, sweetie, not just you. But if you can go in and get rid of some of the resentment that you have with other people first, that's really easy, then yourself, then you'll go in and you'll start loving yourself, and then you can start moving forward. So having said all that, I want to go in the spine. There's two areas for you to work at: shoulders, neck, and lower back. They're connected. In that third chakra, the solar plexus, right there, kind of in the little bit above your shoulder blade and a little bit below it, is your personal power center. Every day, choose one thing that you have control of your life, put it on your to-do list, and do it. When you go to bed at night, do that one thing. It doesn't have to be big. It can be a little, but every day do something that moves you forward. Oh, I have to take a deep breath, and let me tell you why. You're a very intuitive being, and I think that part of your struggle is, how do you bring this intuition forward in expression? Is that true?
Yes, and I got to the point where I didn't even want to be intuitive anymore because it felt like it was painful in a way.
It is. And part of that being painful, it is for you. It doesn't have to be. Part of that painful is your sensitivity, sweetie. You're empathic. You feel things that you don't even understand what you're feeling. When people hurt, when the field gets full of people's pain or fear or anxiety or insecurity or sadness or sorrow, sweetie, you're like a little Velcro buddy energetically. You feel things very deeply within you. And as a result, it feels really uncomfortable. Being an empath is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's a great gift because it allows you to connect at a very deep level. But if we don't realize we're empathic and we don't know how to deal with that ability, then it just, we're being bombarded all of the time. So one of the things is, when you get feeling sad, because that's not your nature. I mean, I really do. I can touch you at the heart. You're a very jovial person. I mean, you've got a good sense of humor. You and I could probably sit around and just tell jokes over a cup of coffee or tea because you like to laugh. But one of the things is that this deep heaviness, this sorrow that you're feeling, ask yourself, is this mom's, first of all? Second of all, is it someone in your family? Next thing is, ask if it's one of your kids that's feeling this. And then ask, the biggie is, ask, is this something you're feeling in the universe? Then find ways that you can go in. And when your soul says to you, yep, it belongs to someone else, trust it, honey. And then what do we need to do to clear it? What do? You fill your heart full of love. You distract your mind. You do something you really, really enjoy. Part of your struggle that's showing up in your spine is the fact that you don't know which direction. Yeah. And in that process, choose a direction. Take one step toward it. If it's not the direction that suits you, back away and take another one. But again, go in and, you know, see what you can do. Find some ways that you can look at healing yourself. Affirmations, visualizations, drawing mandalas, working with mandalas. Mandala therapy is exquisite. Put a circle on a piece of paper, get some crayons or chalk or whatever medium you would like to do, and start coloring how you feel inside, and then color how you would like to look inside. It's a wonderful therapy for what you're dealing with, sweetie. And what it'll do is it'll help take the pressure off of the muscles, because the muscles actually store the emotions that we carry, the resentment, the disappointment, the grief, anger, all of the different emotions. And what it does is it just tightens those muscles, ligaments onto the vertebrae itself, and then we're afraid to move. What's happening in your lower trunk, in your back, and then in your lower extremities is you just don't know where to step forward, sweetie. So take some time. Don't push yourself. Just be in your space and then decide where you want to go and take that one step. And that, I think that will help you tremendously.
Yeah.
The spine itself, my sense is what we're dealing with is we're dealing more with muscular than anything else. I do have a little bit of osteoarthritis in a couple of the areas, but again, nothing that is severe enough to be able to create a problem for you. It's just more of that psychological part that I'm picking up with you. I say this with great love, sweetie. you need to get your mom off your back.
And that's funny because she has she passed away 12 years ago.
You're still carrying her, darling.
Uh-huh. I believe that.
So you know what? Just have a ceremony and whatever that means to you. And, you know, it's just like, so, Mom, good job. I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to do things because she can be a guide for you. But the one thing is that you don't have to carry her in holding you back from where you want to go. And then what you can do is start doing things that can help you reintroduce you to that intuitive being that you are. That'll help you tremendously also.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, hon. All right, Sunny, line three. Hi, Sunny. How are you, hon?
Good, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm good. So you're back.
I'm back.
I love it. I love it. So how can I help you, hon? What are we going to be working on today?
Oh, I had a couple of questions, but, you know, as I'm sitting here waiting, it feels like there's an energy nearby me coming up, and I'm wondering if there's some entity, some being who has a message for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is masculine in energy. That's part of what you're being asked to embrace is your own masculine, your own voice, your own personal power. That empowerment part looks like a big jolly green giant, though, in the energy of who it is, masculine, wanting to support you, but has a tremendous amount of compassion. One of the things that this jolly green giant wants me to say to you, listen to what you say. It determines what you do.
Mm.
So, what else can I help you with?
I didn't mention when we spoke about, say, 6 weeks ago, I didn't mention that I had a rental house and I was going to prepare it for sale. And so I've spent the last 6 weeks cleaning and painting.
And very good.
Yeah.
Very good. So have you done any kind of ritual cleansing, feng shui cleansing?
I have not, but I was thinking perhaps I should do salt around the inner perimeter. What do you suggest for that, Carol? Because I realize
There's a lot of different thoughts. One is called the... what do they call it? Drunken spirit, I think it's called. And what you do is you go get bird seed and you can again, it changes. Let's see, where could I send you? Tara Collins, Hay House author, there's some things. Go in and do some checking on feng shui. But what you basically do is you could put vodka or brandy or whatever it may be, and you just soak the bird seed and then you just... take it on the outside and you can just spread it around. The other thing is that you can go inside. You might want to do some feng shui inside. The salt would be able to maybe do it inside. But no, it feels like outside. It feels like the energy outside has just, it just needs to be cleared. We just need, and it's not evil spirits. It's just the energy of the people that were in there just need to be asked to go away and not come back in. It's like they've left the place, but they keep wanting to get back in.
Okay.
And so you might want to look at something like that. But most important is we very, very clear. Your little jolly, your big old jolly green giant is saying is it's time for you to let this go.
Yeah.
It's time for you to let this go. It's okay to let it go. It feels like there was a lot of energy that maybe this was the ace in your, you know, card deck that if anything else didn't work, this might work. But in this particular case, let's let it go. Let's, you know, put the bird seed. Again, a lot of wonderful feng shui ideas that are out there to be able to just get rid of the people wanting to come back, the energy. They're still lingering and so forth. And let's just clear it all the way. You've done a great job on the inside. The other thing is, I don't know why, the Jolly Green Giant just said to me, wants you to go get a red envelope.
Yeah.
And wants you to put an amount that you want to get for this place in it and put it in your wealth corner. And again, you might want to go and look where the wealth corner is because it feels like this has multiple ways to be able to get into the house other than just a front door or back door. So there's a, maybe there's a sliding glass door. There's something else there. Find your wealth corner, put that amount, put that envelope in there and then just see it sold.
Okay. I have no concept of what it's worth. I'll do some research first.
Good girl. Woohoo! Okay. I love that. Wow, that's very good. Yeah, just go and, you know, get an idea of what it's worth. One of the things is, what do you owe on it? What would you like to make on it? And then what is it worth? That's kind of where it is. Start with what you owe on it first, so you don't have to go in and do a short sale or anything with it. You shouldn't have to. I mean, it's got a lot of positive attributes to it.
Yeah, no, that's good. So, yeah, so I'll do all that, and then I'm hoping it'll go very quickly.
Good. Well, let's put that intention out there and get that Jolly Green Giant to help us along.
All right.
Okay, thanks very much, my love.
Nice to talk to you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, let's go ahead and take Cheryl from line one.
Oh, hello.
Hello, hon. How can I help you?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what direction to move job-wise. I've had lots of different directions, and it seems silly that I think I'm pretty capable, but I haven't pinned myself down to anything.
Yeah, you know, one of the things is, you are very capable. That's kind of a good news, bad news when I touch you, is because you really can do everything well, but trying to find something that you have passion around is difficult for you as I'm touching you. So there are some things that you, why don't you give me a couple of the things that you're considering? That might be easiest, since I'm short on time and I want to be sure to flesh this out completely. Give me some of the things that you're considering.
Okay. I'm going towards working with older people, and I've found that there could be job opportunities with medical toenail clipping. I find that I'm quite, and looking at people and how they move or animals really works easily for me. And I like to move, and but getting back into interacting with people more towards that seems to be my direction right now. Because I think I have talents in that, and I feel like I really like to do something well, whatever I do, and make it, you know, not do mediocre and make a difference.
Exactly. Exactly. There are a couple things with you. Is that when you talked about the medical toenail clipping and you talked about working with older people, you have a tremendous respect for your elders.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't just your elders, it's elders in general. You seem to have a heartfelt connection when I touch you with them about the wisdom that they carry inside and the ability to be able to connect with that wisdom and bring it forward. The movement part of you is all about balance. And one of the things that just keeps coming up is, if you had any kind of assisted living homes or facilities that were around you, you would do very, very well in that environment. You would be a wonderful attribute, cheerful, helpful, being able to teach them, elders, to be able to be comfortable in their body, to be able to deal with the aging process in a more effective way. I can see you brushing hair. I can see you talking to people. I can see you having a group of people where you could actually be teaching them about flexibility and about movement and the importance for balance and well-being. I can see you, you know, being able to read to them. Anyway, it feels like something would be very, very valuable for you in working in that arena. You don't feel like working in hospice is something at this point in time would be something that you would consider, but it might be something. I'm going to plant the seed in your repertoire of the things that you're looking at, because you have such a connection and a gentleness and compassion about you that may be something that you would also want to look at. But that's a direction that I would have you consider, whether it's assisted living, independent living, retirement facilities, or things that we also can categorize them under. There may be something that would be of value in that arena for you, and definitely something that is very, very needed, sweetie. Again, it's just that wonderful compassion of who you are.
Thank you. Where I live, there aren't very many people, and do you have a thought about moving?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is a move. I mean, and I don't know what that means. Excuse me for saying, yes, there is. No, I'm not sure what it means, but you like to move. You said that, but I really pick it up in you. And if you can't get what you're looking for in the area that you're in, and that does ring truth and passion, then what you might want to do is to go in and look for moving to another place where you'd be able to find that.
Do you have any thoughts about my son and how that would,
Exactly. 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 So open up your parameter, open up your windows of your mind and look at all the different things. First thing is, what do you want to do? What do you really love doing? You love helping people. You always have. You love being a part of their lives. You touch them at a very heart-centered place. Mm-hmm. You have a tremendous ability to listen actively and to be a compassionate being that you are. That's where you want to go. Elders rings truth with you. There's where you want to go. Explore the things that are possible, and then where do you have to go in order to be able to bring those into fruition, both for your heart and then also for your ability to be able to survive and live and to be able to have the creature comforts that you would like to have. So that's kind of the process that I see that you're needing to work through.
Okay.
So you're headed, it feels like the step is in the right direction, sweetie.
Okay.
Okay, well, light and love to you. Sorry to have to cut you off, but I am running out of time. Boy, I love conversations with Carol. I love the research that I do for my teleclasses and for my other shows where I talk about illnesses, but this just fills my heart. So all of you that are listening, thank you for filling my heart. All of you that called, that we got to chat, thank you very much. Light and love, I'll see you on the radio next Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.